What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.
Welcome to the Bloomberg P&L Podcast. I'm Pim Fox, along with my co-host, Lisa Abramowitz.
Each day, we bring you the most important, noteworthy, and useful interviews for you and your money, whether you're at the grocery store or the trading floor.
Find the Bloomberg P&L Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and at Bloomberg.com.
I'm Lisa Abramowitz. My co-host Pim Fox is on vacation. We let him out of the building, but he will be back in about a week and a half. I want to learn more about whether the Fed even matters if you're an equity trader anymore, given that inflation expectations have gone up so much that it almost makes the benchmark rate less relevant, possibly irrelevant. I want to bring in Matt Malley, equity strategist at Miller Tabak, to give an answer to that. Matt. What do you think?
Well, Lisa, the one thing that we do have to worry about with that is and I certainly understand why people are starting to feel that way, and I think we would all agree that would be a good thing because we've been so dependent on the Fed for so long. But the one thing I do worry about as we move into next year, anything can happen in the next 6 weeks or so, but is that as rates move up, we still have huge amounts of leverage in the marketplace. Now, the banking system is certainly the U.S. banking system anyway is much less levered than it was during the crisis, but the New York Stock Exchange margin debt is more than 25% above its 2007 level. So there's still a lot of leverage out there, and as interest rates move higher, the cost of carrying that leverage will go up, and which means some people will have to unwind some of that leverage.
Stop for one second. I really want to dig into where the leverage could be, because a lot of people have talked, as you mentioned, Matt, the banks themselves have delevered. But this is an important point. I mean, where is the leverage? Where are we going to see the pain?
Well, you see, like I said, the New York Stock Exchange, just in the stock market, the amount of margin debt with people just levering up on the markets is at an all-time high. It's actually, I think it's just slightly below that, but it's well above where it was in 2007. We've also seen, so much debt with some of these companies putting on things. So much debt has been put into into things that didn't really help service that debt. In other words, they've gone back to buying back stock and such, and rather than investing in their own businesses. So, in a weird way, companies are more leveraged than they used to be. And of course, we have private debt as a percentage of GDP up at historic highs. So, there's a lot of leverage out there in the marketplace, even though it's not necessarily in the banking system. And therefore, I'm not worried about the system collapsing, but it still could have cause a headwinds for the stock markets, because leverage helped the addition of leverage helped the stock market move higher in the last 6-7 years. I'm certainly not saying that's the only reason it went up, but it certainly helped it. So it will cause a headwind if that leverage needs to be unwound.
So what would have to happen for the leverage to be unwound? I mean, is this people borrowing short term in order to finance longer term purchases or riskier purchases? So if the short term rate to borrow goes up substantially, people will need to delever. Is that the idea here? So that as benchmark rates climb higher, you will see sort of some of this leverage squeezed out.
Yes, exactly. And although I will say this, it's funny. People are talking about one of the things I've been saying for a while is that the Fed realizes this, and it's one of the reasons why they've said, even before they did their first rate hike, that they would go very slow. And part of that has to do with the speed of the economy, but it also has to do with this issue. They don't want to suddenly cause more problems than they're solving. So everybody's starting to say now with Trump coming in the office, suddenly they're going to have to raise rates a lot faster than they would otherwise have. That's probably true, but I don't think it'll be quite as fast as some of the most bearish people are calling for. And so again, it's causing a headwind, not a major problem, but it's definitely something that will have an impact on stock prices away from the fundamentals. And, with the Federal Reserve having been so important to the markets in the last few years, some of these non-fundamental factors have been important, and they will be for, I'm sorry to say, for some time to come.
Which areas of the stock market do you think are most vulnerable to a dramatic pullback as leverage gets squeezed out?
Well, I mean, it's really going to be across the board. On a very near-term basis, though, is oddly enough, is that I worry about the financial stocks. Only, and this is between, this is really on a short-term basis, between maybe now and the end of the year. They are certainly poised to go higher because interest rates are poised to go higher, and which should, you know, invert the, I'm sorry, keep the yield curve steeper, continue it to steepen, and that should be helpful. However, they've gone so far, so fast, and the problem is we have everybody's on one side of the boat. You look at the sentiment indicators for the bond market, they're as overextended as I've ever seen them. I've been doing this for over 30 years. And the positioning isn't quite as bad as it has been, but it's still quite extreme, or getting more extreme, I should say. And the same with the bank stocks. You look at some of these charts, they're wildly overbought. Again, I guess my point is these things may look like they're collapsing for a very short period of time, but if you like these groups and these sectors, you want to, I think, hold off and buy them. I think you get a better chance to buy them at lower levels down the road as we move towards the end of the year rather than chasing them up at these levels.
Matt Malley, thank you so much for joining us. Matt Malley, equity strategist at Miller Tabak. Thanks for listening to the Bloomberg P&L podcast.
You can subscribe and listen to interviews at iTunes, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast platform you prefer. I'm Pim Fox. I'm out there on Twitter at Pim Fox.
I'm out there on Twitter at Lisa Abramowitz 1. Before the podcast, you can always catch us worldwide on Bloomberg Radio.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.